The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Acuma, its board of directors, its management staff, or its members. The podcast discussion presented is conversational in nature and for general information only.
Hello, and welcome to Acuma's On Point Podcast, a series focused on sharing the stories of people who are making a positive impact in the credit union mortgage industry. I'm your host, Peter Benjamin. Today, my guest is Dion Bass, owner and lead instructor and mentor at AskTheUnderwriter.net. Dion, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome and honored that I was invited. Thank you.
The honor is all ours. Really excited for our conversation. I think the topic we selected, which we'll get to in a short bit, is something that speaks to the mission of Acuma, speaks to my background a bit, and really something that I'm really passionate about. So really excited for our conversation. Looking forward to kind of sitting down with you and picking your brain on a few things. But hey, before we do that, got to pull in the hawk. Justin, what's the latest and greatest happening over at Acuma? And by the way, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
Awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Not living the dream today. Okay.
Well, I mean, all right. I gotta call you
when you don't say it, because our listeners, that's like the thing they gotta listen for is Peter's living the dream. It's the best day ever.
Living the dream. Didn't sleep last night, so a little tired. Doing okay. So living it, just on the struggle bus today.
That's okay. That's what happens when we have kids.
Tell you what, brother.
So I guess everything that's going on over here at Acuma, we're like between events. So we're 1 month post our summit event that happened back in March. And which we're awesome. 1 month awesome. Away from our first workshop going on in Nashville.
Yep.
So that's really exciting. Yeah. Yep. So it was great to see some of our members back in March. I look forward to seeing more familiar faces when we head to Nashville, or even some new ones. And then after that, we're going to Denver in June for our next workshop.
Baja City. Love it.
Yeah, registration's open for both workshops. If you haven't had time to register, or if you're on the fence, come out, see us. We have a lot of great content and sessions planned for you, so that's always a good thing. And then after registration, or after workshops, we're going to take a little bit of a summer break, hiatus, if you will. Ooh. And I know some downtime for everybody. Seriously. Across the entire industry, and
spend some time with family when you're not traveling.
Exactly.
It's good times lie ahead in the summer.
Yeah. And then we just gear up for annual, and we've been planning annual since last annual, even probably before that even. But annual this year, it's in Vegas from September 29th to October 2nd. Registration will be opening soon, so be on the lookout for more information with that. And then aside from our in-person events, we have our fast tracks and inside track webinars. Those are going on year round. So
nonstop.
It's that educational content that you just need to take in on the go, at your desk, during lunch, power walks, all that kind of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. All recorded. When we can, we'll post them on our website. They can most certainly listen to those or watch them whenever they can. Like I said, on their afternoon walks with their dog. Actually, funny thing is, when you send me, I have the privilege to listen to our podcast before the release. That's that afternoon walk with the dog is typically when I'm listening to our podcast before its release, just because it just helps me clear my head, make sure I don't sound like an idiot, which I do half the time, but that's okay. But that's all right. I think that's the best part about Acuma, is that they can listen or watch our virtual content wherever they are.
Yep. Yeah. And speaking of our virtual content, if you haven't had a chance, we have our policy series that comes out once a month. And that's a new one that we launched this year. So if you haven't had a chance to hear some of the latest and greatest with things going on the Hill, that's a good episode to listen to. They're a lot shorter. Great content, great engagement. No fun games at the end. It's more serious.
Exactly. That would be fun. That would be funny having our friends over at Brownstein do some dad jokes, though. They're all serious.
I'm pretty sure they would love it, though.
They're all serious, and all of a sudden we're like, let's do some dad jokes. Let's talk about the election. And by the way, we're doing dad jokes at the end, which I guess it makes sense that they kind of tie in one. The election and dad jokes kind of tie in hand with each other anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So lots of good stuff going on, though.
Good. I do love our policy podcasts. Started them back in January. I have a small handful. underneath our belt now. Valuable information. I will say this, as we get closer to or towards the end of the year, and the election season starts really picking up. Those policy podcasts once a month will play even more of a pivotal role in our members' day to day. Even though it's only once a month, it's gonna be really good valuable information as we get closer to that election. Anyways,
exactly.
Anything else, Hawk?
Nope, that's all.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Dion.
Yes.
All right. So first things first, before we dive into today's topic, one of the first questions I ask people is, you know, well, I'll sidestep that a bit. You know, this podcast, like I said in my intro, it's focused on sharing the stories, right? It's really focused on you as a person. So that being said, let's focus on you as a person. Okay. Let's focus on Dion Bass. You know, give us a little background of who you are and how you really got into this industry.
Oh, I love that question. That's actually my favorite.
Okay, good.
Because I got in the industry, I believe, in 1995, and I was a telemarketing manager, which, you know, is a glorified telemarketer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for 6 months, and I told the owner, I'm tired of telemarketing. I want to do what they're doing in that other room. I want to process mortgage loans. So he told me I could do it if I could duplicate myself. Well, at the time I was in college. So I put a sign up and said I was hiring for more marketing managers. And I loaded that room up, trained them. And that's how I started processing mortgage loans. Huh? Loved it. It was, it's a puzzle. And I like puzzles. No files ever the same. No situation is ever the same. Your day is always different. High speed. Some years passed, and I'm giving you the cliff notes. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. Some years passed, and after dealing with some very mean and angry underwriters, I decided that I want to learn how to underwrite. I want to know the secret. What is the secret? Had an opportunity when I was contracting in New York a long time ago. There was like no remote work. You actually had to go to different states and contract. And I was contracting in New York, and one of the MI companies was there with their underwriters, and I was helping her. Like, we were so busy. It was when Washington Mutual bought PNC. I am really dating myself right now. And they brought like gaggles of us there to help them with this transition. And I was helping an underwriter with her conditions. She said, you should take the underwriting test. And I didn't even know there was a test. So I took the test, and lo and behold, I passed. But here's why I told you this long story. One of the things that she told me not to ever do was lie on my resume. She said, if you tell them the truth, they'll train you. She said, you have the skill, you know what you're doing. Just allow them to train you. She said, if they tell you no, then go to another company. Well, she was half right. Later on in life, I wasn't able to get a few jobs because I didn't have as much experience as they wanted. And sure. But I didn't lie. And one of the main reasons why is because that's where we get the disconnect. That's where we get the unhappy customers, the unhappy account executives, the unhappy loan officers, the unhappy borrowers. Because people are in these roles and they have not been properly trained. So that's kind of where my passion was born at. People training me, people teaching me. And I have been going full force ever since.
I love that. I love that.
The funny thing is, that you didn't say it was on an accident.
Yeah, seriously. Everyone,
many people tell us it was
95%
the mortgage industry on an accident.
95%.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. No. And here's the other funny part. I was supposed to be a teacher like most people in my family, but I refused to do it. Isn't it funny that I ended up still teaching and writing courses?
That's funny. That's good.
You got the passion. You got the passion.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that. A couple of things, you know, you did take me down a trip down memory lane a bit, you know, thinking about, you know, the old underwriting tests.
Yeah,
I don't even know if they do that anymore. I really don't. Yeah. They do. Okay, there you go. Shows how far removed I am from it. But mostly contract underwriting. I totally forgot about all the underwriters I used to work with, and they were contractors for various MI companies. Just coming into the mortgage company that I worked for, and just they were you know, an underwriter for ABC MI company, or the next one was a contract underwriter for XYZ. And I totally forgot about that. But anyways, thank you. So let's, all right. So you hinted at it, you talk about the passion. You know, today's conversation is really focused on, you know, your passion for training and development and why it's important, but also the overall lack of training development in our industry for people that are coming into it. Now, for me, the reason why we kind of sort of agreed to this conversation is because it does speak to the mission and the purpose of ACMA, right? We are a trade association that focuses on training, right? We're not an advocacy base, we're training base. So that speaks to, you know, who we are as an association. For me personally, you know, when I first started in the industry, I didn't go through a training program. It was literally like, here's a file, figure out where the pay subs are. You know what a pay sub looks like, go find the pay sub. You know what bank statements look like, go find the pay sub or go find the bank statements and try to meet these conditions. And that was literally how I was trained. Just give it a file and say, go at it. All right. So I believe it. But also as credit unions, you know, a lot of, you know, the average credit union is relatively small, right? And their trading department is, or sorry, their mortgage department is relatively small. So they very well, their form of training may be side-by-side training, right? They don't have a dedicated training person, right? Which causes some issues. And so I find this conversation very interesting for all those reasons. But anyways, well, let's come back to the conversation, the lack of training, your passion for training. You kind of hinted at it, right? So I'm asked a stupid question, and I'm prefacing saying this is a really stupid question, but in your opinion, why is training in general? I mean, just instead of calling it training development, we'll call it training. Okay, why is it such an important piece to the puzzle?
Well, I would say the main reason why it's an important piece to the puzzle in our industry, I'm not speaking of any other industry because training is important everywhere.
Let's focus on mortgage.
In our industry, because we're dealing with probably one of the most important purchases that a person would make in their life, and we're trusting this to people that don't even know what they're looking at, that don't understand that when those documents are sent to you, so when the borrower sends the originator or the processor those documents, that they need, there needs to be a cursory review for certain items. So we're missing closing dates. Earnest money is being lost. Relationships between originators and real estate agents are being destroyed because a promise was made and it wasn't kept. So lack of training is a domino effect that touches every single person or entity involved in a transaction.
So it's interesting, right? So especially now when times are tough, training is the first thing to go, right? Always first thing to go. But you said, yes, it's from a human aspect. And we focus on that a lot. We focus on putting families in home. And we say it over and over again. That's our job. That's what we do. We put families in homes, right? But from a larger aspect, mortgage is probably one of the most heavily regulated industries in the financial space that you can think of, right? And I kind of view it as this, right? Yeah, it's heavily regulated. So if you're not properly trained on the regulations or the rules, how to kind of stay within the lines, there's even larger impact to not just that one particular family, to every family out there. I mean, look at 2007, 2008. Actually, do you remember The Big Short, right? Remember that scene where Steve Carell was down in Florida and he was interviewing some loan officers, and they're like, I was just last week a car salesman, and here I am, you know, getting a check for, you know, $1 million, right? Doing these mortgages. That's a good example of, hey, if you're not trained to stay within the lines, right? Or properly navigate the implications or the possible ripple effect that could occur to not just one family, to every family in the United States, just because you weren't trained how to properly originate a mortgage or underwrite a mortgage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, keep going, please continue. So train development, families and homes, good. So what do we need to do as an industry to really start focusing on improving training as a whole? Like, what can we do to start adopting it? What are techniques, in your opinion, do you think that can help us really start improving training?
I'm going to get in trouble from saying
this. No,
it's
okay. No, I get in trouble every day.
Okay. We need to stop relying so much on AI and the conveyor belt process and go back to training each individual on the whole entire process. When I first started, an originator had to process 10 loans before they were even assigned a processor, because they were supposed to understand not only the process, but understand their person who's working with them's plight. When I talk to processors, ones that, you know, I'm training, even ones that I'm mentoring, one of the main things that I hear is that they only had to do this part right here. Well, I only had to do this part right here. And you talk to another person, well, I only had to do this part right here. If you don't understand the whole entire process, then how important, you know, you don't even realize how important that little bitty part you're doing is. And it just ends up being just a really bad soup, like too many flavors. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just, it's really bad.
It is, you know, and that was always the pushback I got from loan officers, was that you're making me process. I'm a glorified processor. But like, yeah, you are, because you have to understand what processors go through, the proper documentation required. It's an important part of the puzzle, right? I always hated loan officers. Not there, where I'll probably get in trouble. I always hated when loan officers just submitted junk, right? They didn't know how to look at pay stubs. They didn't know how to calculate tax return income. They just got pieces of paper and submitted them into the file and said, hey, it's your problem now, right? Right. That's horrible. Not to mention, if you take it to the next step, I said this to every processor that I worked with. I view processors almost like junior underwriters, right? You need to know the guidelines like an underwriter will, right? And it's okay to question an underwriter. It's okay to question an underwriter. But if you're going to question them, make sure that you understand those guidelines. If you don't understand those guidelines, don't question them.
So, hit the nail on the head. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you,
Peter. No, this is all about you. You can interrupt me all you want. I was just rambling.
You hit the nail on the head. When we were coming up, I don't even know if you remember this. Do you remember the MRI books?
Of course.
Oh my gosh, we used to fight over those books. You know, you had like the conventional and the it said Freddie Mac and it said Fannie Mae. And then you had the government one for USDA. I mean, not USDA, for VA and FHA.
Yep.
And we were processors with these books. You know, we didn't have, you know, the internet like they have right now.
And by the way, those are expensive. They are very expensive books.
Yeah. And so we would be fighting over them, you know, and there would be changes in them. But, you know, the company was not going to buy a whole bunch of books. We're like making copies of the changes, putting them inside the old books so that everybody could still have a book or whatever have you. But the point is that we looked before we leaked. I understand, because there are some originators out there. So I want to bring some balance to our statement about, you know, loan officers not just throwing stuff against the wall. There are originators out there that do so much value, they need a loan officer assistant because they can't possibly do the value that they're doing and look at that documentation. But there are others who do not, and they need to know and understand what they're looking at. I do this thing called Underwriting Secrets Revealed for real estate agents. And what happens is a mortgage broker would get their real estate referral partners or even some new ones because they're trying to like get new business. And what real estate agents think about originators, it just really, it saddens me. This lady literally said, well, you know, loan officers are liars. And I was like, wow. I said, that is a very, very broad statement. And she says, I'm just talking to you about my experience. And the reason why, and this is what I explained to her, the reason why they lie or they consider themselves, or what you consider a lie, is them trying to buy themselves more time. Because they didn't consider something, they didn't think about something, something wasn't submitted on time, when all they need to do is just be transparent. So I love what you said at the very beginning of this podcast about being yourself and just letting it all loose, because every single last one of the real estate agents said, we don't care. We know stuff happens. We work with these same people all the time. They don't always come through with documentation. They don't always do what they're told. We just want the truth. When you're trained, when you know what you're doing, you don't have a problem telling the truth because you know that there's no other way out. You lie to dig yourself out of a hole.
That's right. That's right. You know, but even to that point, so let's say, you know, we focus on credit unions, right? So like I said earlier, you know, a lot of credit unions don't have dedicated training departments that solely focus on mortgage, right? Yeah, there may be some aspect to, we'll say, branch training that involves mortgage 101, like this is what a fixed rate is, this is what an ARM is, right? Just so an MSR or a teller, if you're not familiar, can speak to the different types of mortgages, but that's about it, right? But let's focus on loan officers, underwriters, processors, closers, post-closers, QC, servicers. Let's break down like the entire life cycle of a mortgage, right? Not every mortgage firm or not every credit union has the internal resources to develop some type of training. So what type of resources are out there that these credit unions that may not have a dedicated mortgage division, what type of resources are out there that they can leverage to maybe not directly train their people, but provide them with guidance on how to process a loan, how to find out the information that they need to be successful?
So first, I want to say to you that it's not only credit unions that don't have dedicated training.
Before joining a credit union, I was with a community bank, small community bank in the DC area. Not really small, it's decent sized community bank. And before that, I was with IMBs. And trust me, I know it.
Yeah, but they do not.
our main audience is credit unions. So let's focus on them. Okay. So credit, what resources are out there? Listen, here we are, Justin, 40 years into the internet, basically, right?
No.
Longer?
No. The internet came around in 96.
No, not according to Al Gore.
It was mainstreamed in the mid-90s.
All right, so since, you know, that horrible AOL dial-up sound that we all used to hear whenever we used to connect to the internet, you know, there's a lot of information out there, right? What type of resources are out there that people can leverage?
So my first and most favorite resource, this is how I got started, is MI. MI companies have great training resources. They mostly focus on income, which is extremely important. I feel like I've seen some about kind of like assets, document assets and everything. Those are like your free resources. Two, everybody's favorite, as they call it, YouTube University. You have a lot of people out there that love to make videos, kind of explaining stuff. I don't too much refer people to YouTube simply because there's so many people and I can't really vet them. I don't know who it is. Whereas with the MI companies, I'll name a few. MGIC and Ascent has really good training. MGIC, Ascent.
I mean, if we're going to name them, there's obviously MGIC, Ascent, Arch, Radian, and National.
Yes. Okay. All of them have free training. Right. So there is a good place to start, especially MGIC, like I said before, because they have a router to the tutor, as I like to call it, platform that kind of like shows you from the very beginning until the very end. Of course, it's an MI company, so they're sprinkling in their MI information inside of it, but it's a really good start. The second source, as I said, was YouTube. The third source, unfortunately, could possibly cost you. And this is what a lot of people do. They hire companies or they hire individuals to coach them or mentor them. That's kind of one of the things that I do. I mentor people. But for someone like, I think I talked to two people that I know that could not sign up with me right away. They all went to the MI companies and they were very pleased with the progress that they were making and with the information that they got. Whereas when you're dealing with originators, people who are looking at files over and over again, or they're trying to learn different programs, they do kind of like hire people, but it really just depends on the person and their budget.
Right. Yeah. I like that you mentioned the MI companies and just, you know, we have great relationships with all the MI companies. You know, thank you very much, MI companies, for your continued support of Acuma.
Yeah.
But, you know, just thinking back to my time, you know, on the lending side of our industry, I always flock to the MI companies for education because of a couple of different reasons. When you factor in all of the MI companies, right, it's a rather large catalog of content, right? Rather large. And the best part is that your organization doesn't have to be working with that MI company to access that training, right? So, you know, we may have been primarily working with one MI company, but I could easily go to another MI company for their training on asset management or assets, right? You know, same thing with, you know, some of the soft skills. You know, recently some of the MI companies, you know, yes, I agree with you. A lot of it tends to be, you know, income focused. And let's be honest, calculating self-employed borrower income, you know, some do it really well. Some do not do it really well, and they never agree, right? That's always the most argued upon condition in an underwrite or say a mortgage process is that self-employed borrower income. Anyways, a lot of them have started focusing on, you know, how to leverage social media for growth, how to proper time management. So I like that they have those types of training now as well. So agreed, MI companies are great places, but also the GSEs are starting to offer training. You know, and
I forget that. Yes.
No, it's okay. It's okay. That's why I'm here. The GSEs are offering training, and that their training, yeah, although it's you know, Fannie's training is for Fannie stuff, Freddie's stuff is for Freddie, right? But it's still free. Free. And who doesn't like free?
Absolutely.
Right.
Everyone and of course, likes a free lunch.
And everyone likes a free lunch, right? And we're forgetting one of the best places to go for training is Acuma, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, shameless plug, but I'm going to say it. Shameless plug. It's not free, but shameless plug.
We have a lot of free content.
I mean, we need to start doing more like underwriting training. We need to start doing more stuff like that, or processor training. Maybe one day in the future. I don't think I can put anything else on our plate without the system breaking one day.
I would love to put something together for you. Yeah. I've mentored several processors and originators from credit unions.
All right, there you go. That's good to know. Good to know. We'll keep that in our back pocket. So, you know, we're definitely approaching time. Okay. So, and I hate to cut this off because I feel as though we can talk about training philosophies, the importance of training for a lot longer, but we really are approaching time. So any final thoughts on training, the lack of training within our industry, and what can we do to really start improving upon, we'll say, the lack of it?
First, people need to speak up and be transparent.
Okay.
If you look at social media, once again, I'm about to step on a bunch of toes. If you look at social media, everybody has it together. Everybody knows everything. Because who's going to get business posting a Facebook post that says, I can't calculate income? I don't really know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at bank. No one's saying that. But the truth of the matter is they need that help. And so if you speak to your leaders in your company. I don't know a company that I've ever worked for, big or small, that did not do a survey or did not have some type of suggestion box. So, you know, ask your company to provide more training. And if they don't have the time or resources, which most don't, because the training for most companies that I was ever that I was at was usually done by an employee that was in there putting some slideshow together that mm-hmm. none of us understood. I would suggest, you know, suggesting that they bring someone in, but you have to make some noise. You have to say something. What is that? It's an old saying, a closed mouth doesn't get fed.
I like that.
Open your mouth.
That's good. It's real good. You know, it's, I think that's the big lesson. That's a great final thought, that don't be afraid to raise your hand and say, hey, I need training. That's yes. Fantastic. Okay. Real final question. It's a question I ask everybody. I do my best to ask everybody that as the final question. But you know, like I said, this is about we learn about how you got into the industry. You learn about a little bit of who you are, your passion for training and development. But this podcast is really focused on you as a person. And so, really, the last question is: what keeps driving you? You're just like everyone else, 1 foot out of bed every single morning. What keeps motivating you to keep pushing our industry forward?
Questions that I get in my inbox, okay. Not only from originators, but from processors, from closers, from real estate agents, from borrowers saying, hey, they said this or whatever have you. All of those questions let me know that what I'm training, that what I'm teaching, that I'm what I'm mentoring is needed, because the questions haven't stopped.
I like that. I like that a lot. Good, 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 good. All right. So thank you very much for that. And thank you very much for sharing your insight on training. I feel like we can easily continue this conversation, and who knows, maybe we can have you back on and we can just continue this conversation and talk about other things that we can do with regards to education. Okay. But we need to start transitioning to the second segment of our podcast. Now, again, this is where we We do Jeopardy sometimes. Sometimes it's trivia, some fun facts. You know, we play a little fun ranking game. But today, we get to do the crowd favorite of dad jokes. This is really everyone's favorite. Everyone's favorite episode when we do dad jokes. So here's what's going to do. So pre-call, I asked you to come prepared with, you know, a few dad jokes. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go around the horn. I mean, you, Justin, and myself, we're going to say our dad jokes. And that's it. And then we end, we laugh, and we move on. We go on with our day. But you know what? We end it on a very high note. We ended today's recording in giggles. So, Dion, you are our honored guest. I'll let you go first with your dad jokes.
Okay, so do I ask and then you guys have to give me the answer, or do I say it?
So dad jokes are different. So are interesting. Like dad jokes can be one liners. Dad jokes can be, you know, knock knock things, right?
Okay.
So if it's an interactive one, like a knock knock joke, or what is a, you know, course we can try to answer. Yes, 100%. So however the format is, Justin and I are expert enough on dad jokes that we'll know whether we need to interject with a response.
Oh gosh.
Okay.
If you guys are experts, you probably know this one.
No, we're really bad at it, especially me. But
yes, I was about to say they fall flat.
They all, because mine are such at a high level that they always fall flat. But anyways, keep going.
Okay, so here's my joke. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common?
Oh, I know this one.
So do I.
But what do a tick and an Eiffel Tower have in common,
Dion, please. What is it?
They're both parasites.
There you go. There you go. I love it. All right. Fantastic. All right, Dion, do you have another one?
I do, actually.
Okay. Love it.
What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie?
Oh, I know.
I know this one. Hold on. I know this one. Oh, can I say the answer? Because I know this one.
Of course.
Sophisticated.
That's yes. The only thing I was thinking of too. I'm like, hold on, what is it?
Yes. That's a good one. All right. Do you have any more? Or are you good? Are you done?
I've got a whole list of them. I didn't know if you were going to ask me for more than a whole bunch of them.
Or all right. How about this? Give me one more.
Okay. One more. Okay. Why do fathers take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing?
I know. We know. This is a good one. Go ahead.
This is a fan favorite for
this
sure.
This is a fan favorite. Definitely a fan cool. favorite. Go for it.
Because they get in case they get a hole in one.
Yes. There you go. I love it.
I think I like that one more than the two of you did.
All right, Hawk, your turn.
Okay. I'm going to see if I can even come close to Dion here. What has five toes but isn't your foot?
What is it?
My foot.
Somebody else's foot.
All right. Here's another.
Wait,
one
that was you. The answer?
My foot, yeah. Somebody else's foot, my foot. That they both work. All right. I am not expecting daughters here or any kids, but if I have twin daughters, I'm gonna name one Kate and the other Duplicate.
The funny thing is, I tried doing that.
Like that.
And Danielle was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So Deanna, I have twin daughters.
Ooh.
And I promise you, I tried doing that. I did that joke when we first found out, and Danielle was like, you're an idiot. That's a good one.
I mean, I thought it was hilarious.
No, it's good. It's good. It's awesome. Okay, go for it. Last one.
All right, my last one. I went to the beekeeper to get 12 bees. He gave me 13. I said, sir, you gave me one extra. He said, that's a freebie.
I didn't see that one coming.
That's a good one. Okay. So I did have four prepared.
Okay.
But your fish wearing bow tie one was actually one of my jokes.
Okay.
Okay. So I now have three. So let's see how I do on these. All right. So how does a penguin build its house?
With ice.
One block at a time.
It glues it together.
That was a good one.
Thank you. All right. Singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it's a soap opera.
That's a good one.
Thank you. All right. Last one. What do you call a factory that makes just okay products?
I don't know. Justin, do you know?
No.
A satisfactory.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
can't believe I didn't get that one. That was good.
Okay. And that ends dad jokes.
I love it. That was cool.
Awesome, Dion. Dion, thank you very much for being here. Really do appreciate it. Enjoyed our conversation. And we'll have to have you back on to continue it and also really focus on, you know, the education piece of our industry. So again, thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. I so appreciate it. And I look forward to hearing from you guys again.
Awesome. Awesome. And Hawk, as always, thank you very much for being here.
Of course. My pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. And to everyone else, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on our fun little podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. Be on the lookout for the latest and greatest coming out of Acuma. Until next time, my friends, bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time at the Acuma On Point podcast. If not already, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. For more great episodes and information, be sure to visit us online at acuma.org. And to get the latest updates, head over to our LinkedIn page.